Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. We are back live on YouTube. I know it's a surprise because Scott says I'm not watching live, but we went live anyway for you on a Saturday night right here on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel to recap all things WWE Bad Blood going down live from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on YouTube, on the wrap, not Perky Scott Young, not Perks today, because for some reason, heading into this PLE, he is now Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salts.
Oh, boy. thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I definitely take Perks over Salts. Just personal preference there. The Perk Salts. But this show happened. We had a classic. We had this felt like, say we're going to Red Lobster, right?
Mm-hmm.
This felt like we ordered our meal and they brought the meal out first. Then they decided to bring the cheddar biscuits out, but they only brought one serving out. Then they brought the salad out, didn't bring no dressing. Then they just brought you a water. You didn't even get to order a drink. They just brought you a water. And then they brought you your dessert at the end, gave you a little cherry on top. That's what this show felt like.
It definitely felt that way. It felt like we got fed early and then we were starving for the last 2.5 hours. I definitely felt that way. And there was a debate we had on this show on Tuesday about whether or not the Hell in a Cell match between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre should main event Bad Blood. In hindsight, based on what we saw and how things ended, you should have closed the show with the blood feud that mattered the most.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you know, match standpoint, reaction. Yeah, I get that. It is hard to deny The Rock. And it's not like they were quiet when he showed up and stuff. Him not being able to bend his ring finger to make a three and he had to flip to the other side of his hand. That's a whole nother subject, but I'm okay with it. Would it have been my decision? No, I mean the match speaks for itself, but Roman's first match back, Cody's hometown, you got two big returns. I get it.
I understand it too. I mean, in the moment, yes, you got two big returns and you close the show that way too. You could open that show the very same way, got the same reaction. It would have been hotter earlier on. And then you end the show with the bloodbath. It would have resonated the same way. Close the night on a good note. You still got that. But the middle of the show, it just could not live up to the beginning of what we got via that instant classic between Punk and Drew McIntyre, which we'll get to momentarily. But I do want to briefly talk about what was actually a really good show in SmackDown the night before, because maybe one of those matches could have landed on this card to replace something else. The ladder match, maybe? I'm just saying.
So my thing with the five match PLE, and like I'm okay with it Yeah, I know this is a bad example. This certain PLE is a bad example, but like we're getting some great quality matches on TV, and like I don't want to lose that to add a, you know, to add another, to add that tag, like to add the tag match, for example, to this card. We're still talking about the Hell in a Cell instead of talking about how great that tag match was on SmackDown. It would be like, yeah, that was a good tag match, but man, that Hell in a Cell. But now it's like, man, that tag match on SmackDown was incredible. And it gets its own space. It gets to breathe its own air. So I like that we're getting these bigger matches on TV instead of just being an undercard match on this PLE, because that's what it would have been.
I agree to a point, but I could have swapped one of those matches from this card for that match, and it still would have had some great heat attached to it. That's my thing.
Well, for sure. For sure.
So
for
I would have like made that business decision. Like sometimes you do want to showcase some of your championship matches on these PLEs. You don't want to have the tag team titles or the IC title or the US title on ice year round when you're only picking five matches per show outside of the big four PLEs every year for WWE. I understand the strategy in that. But at the same time, if there's a good match on SmackDown that's not going to be bogged down by commercials, you put it on the PLE. You can still do five, but pick the best five possible matches that you're going to get the best bang for your buck. And I thought to myself, I could have took out at least one match from this card and just replaced it with that tag team title match with the ladders. Because with everything that happened last night during that main event, it would not have felt out of place on this show. And that crowd in Atlanta would have been jumping for all those spots as they were in Nashville the night before.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have had a reason for the G.O.D. ain't, they wouldn't have been able to come back looking all fresh and stuff for the main event after going through all them tables and stuff. And Lord knows we can't be having Tongaloa standing on top of ladders when there's that many people out there, because him up there is a question mark as it is. So let's not ask him to do too much in front of too many people.
I believe somebody was very wrong. I don't know if it's Filthy Tom or Brian Alvarez who said that Tongaloa was not going to be the guy to win the match for his team. And he was actually the guy at the top of the very shaky ladder that Tama Tonga was holding to make sure his brother didn't fall to grab those titles. So I need someone who made that decision that was not going to happen on that show earlier this week to eat some crow, because Tongaloa, in fact, won the match for his team in the clutch. But overall, I really enjoyed that match on SmackDown. Chelsea Green and Meechan, the dumpster match, that was a lot of fun. Chelsea Green taking the bump through the table in the dumpster. Come on. And then she shows up for Bad Blood, allegedly still smelling like trash. I did not believe that, but hey, she tried her best to freshen up with some Febreze, no doubt.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of me finishing a 2-hour basketball session and spraying some Axe. Shout out to Piper as well, who was cheddar biscuits for her. She was looking great at the party.
Yes,
I definitely give her that. She looked like she was definitely ready to party, and she gave Metro the eyes.
She sure did. Yeah.
She's like, "Hey, what's up?" Sorry, Chelsea, you got to bounce. I thought the hosting was cool. I like the little touch of, everybody, Naomi, you know, shouted out Bayley, and they was like, "Bianca, what do you think?" And she was just like, "Yeah, all right, I'm here. I'm keeping the peace." So the hosting thing was all right. It was cool. But yeah, it was, again, this was just a show.
It was definitely a show. Okay, Piper Nevin definitely gets cheddar biscuits. I thought the same thing. Gosh, she's gorgeous. Looked great last night backstage, was ready to party, like leave Chelsea behind. She was down for that. Loved it. Host Bianca Belair, Jay Cargill, and Naomi did a good job. Shout out to Naomi and Tiffany Stratton as well. Good match on SmackDown on Friday night as well. It's all good. We're just jumping everywhere, you know, because we're not going to probably talk about SmackDown for our show on Tuesday. Just get that out the way. Just talk about the good stuff on SmackDown, which was a pretty solid show. Shout out to Naomi and Tiffany as well. Very good match. Always enjoy their chemistry. Naomi got the win. And then Tiffany is still in Nia Jax's crosshairs regarding what she's going to do with that Money in the Bank briefcase, which played a role into that championship match between Nia and Bayley, which we'll get to momentarily. But let's get to why we're here tonight, which is all things Bad Blood. For those of you tuning in live, you can comment in a comment section during the show to offer your feedback and analysis on what you saw tonight via the PLE by WWE. And Scott, you know, I found out something last month that made me very happy, because how much do you pay for Peacock every month?
You know, I'm on that 99 cent plan, but that's running out. I think I got like a month left on it.
Oh, man.
You know, it was a year. So I'm running out of time on that.
So you're like, you got to pay the full $7.99 real soon, huh?
$5.99.
Not the I've
already been looking for a deal. So I found a $5.99.
You found a $5.99 promotional deal.
I'm looking for three.
You might want to wait till Black Friday to find like the low price for a Peacock subscription for a year.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to wait till that cyber deal. Try to get another. I know the 99 cent days are over, but let me get like a $2.99, $1.99, $2.99. You know, something like that. Keep it under three.
Well, I found out a few weeks ago that because I have been a Comcast member for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm a platinum member now, and I found out I get the Peacock for free for no additional cost. So I canceled my other Peacock subscription so fast. I'm like, I ain't paying y'all nothing. I'm on that free 99 tier now. I know that's right.
Hey, yeah, you finally got me beat. Now I'm the one out here paying out of pocket.
Yes. Now you paying out of pocket. I'm paying no pockets. So yay for me. Very happy I saw that show for free. Bless.
Hey, shout out to you for that. That's a flex right there. You ain't even had to get no streaming site.
Nope.
You know, that's a flex for you. Shout out to you.
Yes, for those of y'all that remember Justin.TV, those were the days when you tried to catch WWE pay-per-view on the free.
Woo! Sounds like an OnlyFans page.
The perils of watching PLEs and pay-per-views in the early 2000s. But hey, we don't have to do that anymore. But let's get to Bad Blood going down live from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. We had the amazing Samantha Irvin kick off the show with America the Beautiful. Love that performance. Gorgeous vocals as always. And then we kick off the show with Hell in a Cell, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. And my God, the fans wanted to see CM Punk off top immediately. The Atlanta crowd, who for a very long time until like the last 8 or so years, was not the hottest wrestling crowd in the world. They were kind of dry, but they were here for this match. And basically most of the show, when they had a reason to be up for stuff, and they were into this match from beginning to end. We've had our quibbles about this feud plateauing a few times along the way, because it's hard to keep momentum up for 10 months when you're talking trash on social media, when you're trading barbs on the microphone, and when you're having matches that are supposed to be built up as epic, violent clashes, and they under-deliver like a SummerSlam, and they kind of lived up to the hype at Bash in Berlin via their strap match. Hell in a Cell would be their biggest test to date. And I thought both guys fully understood the importance of what Hell in a Cell is supposed to mean. We got the OG cage back, no red color backdrop. Praise God for that. And what we got was two guys going out there and delivering pure violence and hate. Not one time during this feud we got a lockup. It was always, we're going to start off hot. I'm going to get in your face. We're going to get to swinging. Never had that traditional lockup. Never had that I'm going to give you respect. It was always that animosity and pure hate at the top of things, which I love. But Scott, you dive into the meat of this match. What did you love about Punk versus McIntyre inside Hell in a Cell?
I love the physicality of it. You know, WWE doesn't give you a lot of matches this physical as far as we got some color. We got some headshots. Like Drew McIntyre got a nice little shiner on his head from one of those wrenches. And, you know, it's just a very physical match. You could tell that they wanted to lay it in. They wanted to make sure that this felt different than everything else that you would see. And it did. This felt different as far as a Hell in a Cell match and anything else, any other Hell in a Cell in years. I think this is probably, honestly, this is probably one of the more physical and violent matches since Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk. Like, when I think about like a real physical match like that, that's a match I think of, and CM Punk's in the middle of it. So I thought this was great. Drew looked great. He dominated essentially the first half of this match. And then once Punk was able to get a free second with that knee in the corner, they started trading back and forth. But, I love the physicality. I love the way that they kept it inside the cage. They didn't need to go to the top or anything. Everything stayed inside. And it felt different. We don't get blood all the time. Little things like that. They told the story. Drew being overconfident, could have had the match won, could have smashed his head with the steps, but instead decided to play with his food and ended up losing. CM Punk wrapping the knee, putting all that in his mouth, all the beads in his mouth, and hitting it with the GTS. That was just, I love the story and the way it finished. Really well done, I thought. I think it's one of the best matches WWE's had all year.
Yeah, I think in the last few years for me, my favorite Hell in a Cell matches have been Bayley versus Sasha Banks back in 2020 during the Thunderdome era. Definitely Bianca and Bayley inside Hell in a Cell just a few years ago before her ACL injury. Cody versus Seth into Hell in a Cell in Chicago 2 years ago. That was an extremely memorable match because of Cody's torn pectoral muscle heading into that battle that you saw clear as day. He was not 100%. It was such a crazy match that he was able to endure. And then we have this match between Punk and McIntyre. And during the Triple H era, he says, what we're not going to do is have a PLE cut Hell in a Cell just because it's on the calendar. We're going to make sure this structure, this step counts for something. And both guys went out there and they delivered. The moment that Drew McIntyre got busted open, I audibly gasped because like the stream of blood rushing down his face was immediate. And later on in the match, when he was going for his finisher, the referee was trying to give him the towel. He said, fuck that towel. I don't want to wipe this blood off of me. He's feeding off of that adrenaline. And I love that. He was amazing in this match. And the thing that really got me in a good way was when he introduced a bag. And I thought, oh God, after all this blood, we get thumbtacks now. But then he pours the beads all over CM Punk, the reminder of what he's done to this man via that bracelet. And then Michael Cole saying, that's a giant FU to CM Punk and that bracelet. It was a great piece of commentary by him to thread that storyline piece together.
Yeah, speaking of the commentary, Michael Cole had a bit of a rough night. There was one point where Drew McIntyre was hitting CM Punk with the, or vice versa. One of them was hitting the other with the wrench, and CM Punk, I mean, Michael Cole was just like, yeah, he is just banging him harder. I was like, Michael Cole, why don't you take a pause for a minute? Why don't you just take a breath? Why don't you let Corey take over for a minute? Because whoa. Because he was getting real bang. He's hitting him again. He banged him again. I'm like, whoa. Hey. I know you see blood and stuff. We still a PG show, my guy. You know, hold on. But yeah, he had a rough night. He called Corey Graves, Corey Rhodes.
Roman Reigns, saving Roman Reigns. Like, Michael had some flashback moments to a time when he wasn't great. He was overly hyped. God bless him. But,
Triple
you
H
know,
must have been in his ear.
Just a little bit. He was, you know, being in his hip hop era last night, got a little bit too much in the sauce, but he was all right. He just had a few boo-boos here and there. But the match itself, man, it was so great. And CM Punk, you know, he's been back in WWE for almost a year, just got back in the ring in August for in-ring competition. He's had three matches so far, all against Drew McIntyre. And it was a reminder, like, I still got it. Like, the washed allegations have been deaded because I can go out there and go 20, 25, 30 minutes and not break a sweat. And he's got good stamina. I mean, he has proven that he's not rusty. I think SummerSlam was like, let's get back in motion. Let's get back in the swing of things. Bash in Berlin says, I'm back. Hell in a Cell, I'm fully back, and I know I can tell a story, and I can use this structure as a way to tell everyone I'm here. And he can do that still at a very high level. And Drew McIntyre, I hope when it's all said and done that he does,
get a baby face run out of this. I saw the nod, the Seamus white noise, and those still steps. And I also know the fact that, Scott, the table was not just used to go through stuff. It was used as a way to maim somebody. They took the legs off the chair, trying to gouge eyes and try to break people's skin with the forehead. It was great psychology and a way to kind of bend the narrative of what it means to use a table in a match.
And this truly felt like a blow off. You know, one thing you mentioned at the top, when you started talking about this match, is you mentioned Triple H not wanting the PLE to determine what the match is, but or determine what the feud's going to be, but for the feud to determine how it ends and how the match goes. This feud deserved the Hell in a Cell. It was built to this very well, and it felt like the culmination. The mannerisms all felt like it. Like when Drew lost the match, the expression on his face, the disappointment, like he was, I mean, you could see it like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like he knows this is it. The final chapter in their story is it CM Punk closing the cage behind him as he walked out, even though the cage bounced back and hit him again. So maybe they got another chapter and he just don't know about it because the cage was telling him other things, but he threw the cage, closed that, like, the little symbolisms they were telling. I thought everything about one thing CM Punk does really well is the little things too. Like everything about this match, like all the little things that just added up, you know, people made fun of the beads, but when he put the beads in Drew McIntyre's mouth, that was one of the loudest reactions of the night. When Drew McIntyre poured that bag, like you talked about, over CM Punk, one of the loudest reactions of the night. Like, people could say what they want. The story resonated. People cared. And it got silly to a point, but people cared about that. And it resonated and really built and added to that finish. I can't say enough. I'm going to give this, I'm going to give it 5.25 GTSs.
Wow. I'm going to co-sign. It goes to 4 or 5 and some more for me as well. This was a great wrestling match. It was beautifully violent, told a great story. Yeah, the bracelet worked our nerves, but in the heart of that match, when it counted most, pouring those beads over that man's head, that was personal. I loved it. It was different versus the thumbtacks that would have been like the trope that you usually use in Hell in a Cell matches. A nice twist on that. The bump Drew took against the steps after missing the Claymore, that hurt. That was back first. There was no soft landing there. The multiple Claymores and punking in the GTS and guys kicking out their finishers, and made sense in that moment. And after the match was over, CM Punk stumbling, collapsing on the ground, and you have him getting oxygen. And then even when he's on the main stage, he's barely standing because he lost so much blood. I think Drew got 16 staples in his head for like the cut he had, because that dude was pouring blood. So both guys went through it. It was a fantastic match, a great way to cap off a fun feud that had its highs and lows here and there. It got a little tedious down the stretch, but when it counted most, both guys went out there and they delivered a classic inside Hell in a Cell.
I agree 100%.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
And that was going to be a hard match to follow. Me personally, we got a match. I think I would have went with the Gunther segment after that, but we got the match instead.
Yes, and speaking of the match that we're going to get to right now, it was for the women's championship. It was Nia Jax, the champion, versus Bayley. I want to say the night before on SmackDown, good Lord almighty, Bayley was stunning. My goodness. Woo! That's why she owns a whole fleet of Red Lobsters.
Fleet! Listen, shout out to Pam. Pam! Shout out to Pam, man. Her and Pam Beasley. Shout out to all the Pams, because apparently it's a Pam thing.
Pam. Just Aunt Pam just comes through all the time. And I loved that backstage segment, because as you alluded to, when it was Bianca, Naomi, and Jade backstage, and the suite for the VIP section, that Bianca just gave the sorry thumbs up. And then when Bayley showed up to dance last night, and then Bianca just slowed it down and says, mm-hmm. Great, she's here. Let's go. She still hates her.
Hey, listen, Keila, we're getting closer and closer to me having to give you your flowers, because you have said, legit, from the beginning of this tag title run, that Bayley is going to be the catalyst of the turn. And you might be right. I could see Jay be like, yo, you are obsessed with this girl and you gotta stop. You might be right. Let's get to the match, but I just wanted to let you know I'm on to you, and I think you might be right.
The pot is simmering. I said the one thing that blinds Bianca is damage control, and by association, Bayley. And the fact that Naomi is so close to Bayley, she's not going to like that. Yeah. You're not going to be the big four with us. That is never going to happen. So the big four will go crazy, for the record. Good God. But yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Just give it a few more months. But let's get to this match between Bayley and Nia Jax. Now, you know, we've been very complimentary of Nia lately on this show. She has vastly improved. She looks amazing. She's a good champion. I will say there were portions of this match where I was very confused about what the move was supposed to be. There were some hiccups here and there. The match was fairly decent. The crowd was drained after the Hell in a Cell match, because that is a very difficult thing to top. But there were some curious spots, Hurricanrana that went awfully wrong. It was okay, but even Corey was like, what are we trying to accomplish here? And then there was another moment when there was supposed to be a Samoan drop that looked like a famouser.
Michael Cole was like, why'd they do that?
And then the bigger question was, why did Nia go for the cover? It's like,
No. The biggest question was, why did they show the replay?
Yes.
And not just the replay, they slowed it down.
Yes, to add to the confusion.
A different camera angle. And Michael Cole's like, yeah, why'd they do that? Why'd they do that move?
Yes.
Yeah, they decided to be very ambitious with this one. Nia's an athlete. I will 100% give her that. You can see her. She's definitely an athlete. But this was the Hurricanrana spot was a choice. It definitely made John Cena's on CM Punk look like Rey Mysterio Jr. And the crowd just didn't really care. They wanted Tiffany. But the worst part is, let me say this. I thought that when they first started the match, I thought the first 45 seconds of this match was spot on and perfect, because you needed to do something different. You didn't want to have a long-winded match and slow it, but them just going at that pace, Nia just hitting her in the corner, splash, clothesline, just bam, bam, breakneck pace. That's what you needed right there. A 5-minute sprint of them just going at it. Big move. Because that's how you're going to get the crowd right back. Because the crowd was with them. That first 45 seconds, the crowd is right there with them, because you weren't expecting that. And they're coming at you with a lot of energy. And then everything just slowed down and it felt like we went into the 2K game.
Very quickly. I thought the first 45, as you said, was pretty good. And then after that, it was like a lot of stuff happened, lost a crowd down the stretch. They wanted Tiffany. They wanted the cash in. And when Nia accidentally laid out Jessica Carr and Bayley had the match won, had it won. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Had the match won. Then it's Tiffy time. She comes out to make a life decision. Do I cash in or not cash in? And she waited too long. And Nia Jax rolls like the Undertaker and says, what are you doing? And then Tiffany goes into retreat mode. She scurries away. And then she tosses her briefcase to Bayley. Bayley tosses it back at her. And then Nia hits her best spot in the match, the Avalanche Samoan Drop, and the Annihilator gets the victory to retain the championship. But the execution of what could have been was definitely lacking for me. And we know they're stretching this out for as long as they possibly can when Tiffany actually does decide to cash in on Nia, when she is truly down and out. When that day will come, I don't know. But the fans are biting for it. But the execution of this was still incredibly lame at the end of the day.
Yeah. And Nia Jax hit a Bayley to belly. I was waiting on Bayley to hit an Annihilator on Nia Jax.
That would have been crazy.
I just wanted to see how Nia would have reacted.
Me too. That would have been wild. But she did land a Samoan Drop, which was impressive.
Very impressive. Now, hey, Bayley is sneaky strong.
Yes.
Like she don't look like she can mess around and hoss Nia, but she can mess around and hoss Nia. Like she's sneaky strong.
Yes. I just wish like they removed a couple of things from this match, and I think it would have flowed better if it maintained that physicality at the top.
Yeah, and now this is the counter. This is the other side of the five match PLE. You do need to go a little bit longer. You can't really have that 5-6 minute sprint. You know, I know you've got two matches that are going to go 30 minutes, 45 with, you know, your entrances, maybe pushing an hour when you're talking Roman entrance. And then you got the bands playing. But like you can't really give a 5-6 minute sprint on a five match show. But that's really what this needed. And, you know, you weren't going to get that right here. But I'm gonna give this two annihilators, just two.
Two annihilators is fair, very fair. I expected a bit more. The SummerSlam match was better than this match, but it was decent. A sprint would have been better than a 15-minute match with a crowd that was definitely tired after seeing that amazing Hell in a Cell match between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. As we get to our next match on the card, which was Finn Balor versus Damian Priest. The makeup choice by Finn with one eye choices was not feeling that at all. Did not love that. Like Finn, like,
can we start with the fact that he walked out with boxers on his face?
Yeah. Let's talk about that too. The entire entrance, I was not feeling like I need Demon Finn back. The budget basic Finn entrance is not it for me. This was probably one of his worst entrances in terms of concept I have seen.
I guess Riddle must have took the mask when he left. I ain't seen the mask since. The mask with the one hole joint. I ain't seen that joint since. So I guess Riddle must have took that when he left.
He confiscated all the masks that Finn had. All the cool masks are gone. And we had that last night, which was definitely a choice. And, you know, this feud had a nice start after SummerSlam. And I think with Finn disappearing from television the last few weeks on vacay, it definitely took the sales out of this feud a bit. The beef was a bit missing. The personal aspect, the face-to-face confrontations have been lacking for me. The spice of this feud was missing. And it felt like we got a television match out of PLE, and it was very good. And the interference was there. And thank God Damian Priest won. And it was physical in spots, don't get me wrong, but it felt like, man, we had an opportunity here to tell a really good story
and it fell flat because they didn't do enough on TV. They got 3 hours every week for the last year or so. Judgment Day has been the predominant storyline in WWE. It has been the focal point that's closed out a many a Monday Night Raw that aggravated some fans last summer. Like, for 20 weeks, it's been the Judgment Day in the main event. How dare you? The audacity. But when you actually need to tell a story that explains why the Judgment Day fractured the way it did, they failed. And you gave us a match that felt a little flat. The fans got into it down the stretch, but the story as to why Finn turned on Damian, why they have not had that true back and forth on the mic to add to this feud, gave me a Monday Night Raw special on a Saturday night. That is what I got.
You know what? And another one, this goes another one to your point about maybe the ladder match. This didn't really, you know, this fit the build of the bad blood, but it didn't, it just felt like, like you said, it felt like a Raw main event. And, you know, that's okay for Monday Night Raw, but not for a bad blood PLE where you're talking about CM Punk, Drew McIntyre and stuff like that. So this was a really good match. And, you know, not a really good match, but it was a good match, but it just didn't have, it wasn't a strong enough match on this PLE. So maybe you were right about the ladder match.
That's what I was alluding to. I said, if I could replace a match on this show, as we got a cameo from, I believe, the little one, as we thought was going to happen on this show.
Grayson, how you doing, buddy?
We got a cameo.
You're on the show.
You're live on YouTube. Hello.
All right.
Hi.
Okay. I need you to go to bed. I love you.
What are these cards for?
You go downstairs to finish. Go downstairs. I love you.
Wait.
I'll be down there in a minute. Okay.
Let's get the card that started again.
That's great. Go finish it. I'll be down there in a minute.
This is number two.
All right. Go watch number two.
Last one.
Uh huh.
Now this started all over.
All right. I love you. Bye, buddy. So you could take them and look at them. All right, I'm good to go. So we had a little cameo. I kind of knew that was going to happen.
Doing a Finn Balor match, nonetheless.
I know. It's a good thing he didn't hear about the one whole man. but yeah. So yeah, it wasn't a really good match, but it was a good match and not in a really good spot. I'm going to give this 2.5 cameos.
I agree. And yes, as I was alluding to earlier, that was the match I would have replaced with the ladder match on this show. I love Finn. I love Damian. But yeah, the ladder match definitely could have took this spot on the show. I'm not going to deny that. That was what I was hinting at. Like, if we could swap out one match, this would be the one. And I love both guys, but the ladder match have been real comfy in that spot to get the crowd back up.
Or you know what? You know what else could have fit right here? And you know, you talked about the weapons, because I still like the ladder match closing out SmackDown. You know, and another one you called, the Donnybrook match we're getting on Monday. Mm-hmm. That could have fit right here instead of the Damian Finn match.
Yep, I agree. So it was what it was. I'm gonna be a bit nicer. I'm gonna give it about 2.75 coup de grace.
Wow, really?
2.75. I'm being kind. Like, the body of the match was good, but like, I could have saw this on Monday from 8 to 10 on USA, being honest, just saying. So it was what it was. But let's get to a mixed bag segment that was great and a portion of time that was tremendous by one man. And then Paul Triple H Levesque found out some things tonight. Came out there, got that pop, ATL hyped, sold out, biggest domestic gate for an arena in WWE history. Props to the A, hot crowd. We got some kind of championship belt presentation. See, what WWE needs to understand is that even though the majority of WWE fans tolerate WWE going to Saudi Arabia. Most WWE fans don't love you doing shows in Saudi Arabia. So when you shout out Crown Jewel and you get booed, yeah, dude, it's still a sore spot. So yeah, we tolerate it. We don't love it. So he introduces this gaudy 50-carat diamond belt, the Crown Jewel Championship belt, because at this PLE coming up in November, it will be for one night only, so I guess we can bump Survivor Series. It will be the champion versus champion matches for the men and women, and the champion that walks out victorious will win this gaudy belt they get to hold for a year and hope they keep it, hope they maintain that status, and this will be an annual tradition of having this gaudy championship match at Crown Jewel. You're serving an audience that doesn't really vibe like that, but go off anyway if the price is right. But let's move on to the more important subject matter at hand. The greatness of Gunther. Gunther comes out, and in the crowd is Bill Goldberg, who's a special guest at ringside alongside his wife and his son who plays for Colorado with the Buffs. And Gunther told Bill, you know, a few weeks ago, I told Bret the Hitman Hart that you are my favorite wrestler growing up. I just wanted to let you know I lied. I don't acknowledge wrestlers that are a one-trick pony. No. I mean, he dragged Bill so bad, I started to laugh. He told Bill's son, I hope that you could look up to someone who's an actual professional wrestler and not this guy that calls himself a professional wrestler. So Bill is going to hop over the barricade. And then Gunther says,
hop's a strong word.
I would say he
rolled.
Climbed
is a strong word too. I'm gonna say he slithered over the wall.
Okay, that's fair. He slithered over the barricade and rolled over. And Gunther says, I would give you 3 minutes. 3 good minutes. I'm like, oh my God. So as the security, I mean, he said what he said, like a 3-minute special. I'm gonna give you that. So as this was happening, which was hilarious, we had security, we had like no shit Adam Pearce out there trying to stop things, Triple H in the corner being messy, and then Sami Zayn comes out there and he attacks Gunther and there's a big brawl and everything. So I do get the feeling that Bill, who has been angling for that last big payday from someone, he shunned AEW recently, he's back in good graces with WWE. I don't expect him to wrestle again, but I do expect him to at least spear Gunther once in the next calendar year. I love the Gunther portion of this segment because he is awesome as a shit talker. Elite. Great fade. Great fit. Great on the mic. A phenomenal champion that backs it up in every way. This Crown Jewel crap could have kept that.
So lots to unpack here. First thing is the title. The title looks like it's worth more than the NXT CW deal
wow.
In and of itself. So there's that. Secondly, as far as Gunther goes, you know, a lot of us talked about how he couldn't talk. And
I love you.
A lot of us talked about how he couldn't talk, but that boy could talk. And he could talk that cap with the best of them. You know, a lot of people didn't know Tim Duncan talked smack, but apparently he was one of the best at it. He got that Tim Duncan in him. Get that man a microphone, he's going to go crazy. As far as the 3-minute special that we're talking about here with Goldberg, that dude might mess around and get a match. That's a Raw main event. I could see that. I could see that being on a Raw main event. He should have speared him tonight. I thought he was going to. I do want to know what Scrap Daddy was going to do, what he came out there to do. And then you got Triple H. Lord knows he ain't going to get involved because he's like, hey, listen, you know, you ain't got to worry about me. I'm going to sit right here in this corner. So Sammy came out, great reaction. I would have liked for him to get on the mic, cut a nice promo. You already had everybody fired up, but this was a nice segment. And Goldberg got a great reaction in Atlanta. It sounded like they were booing him the first time he got showed on screen, though.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, he got love from the A.
He got love,
and he's going to get that last check. Like, Triple H going to cut him that last big check. Going to give him that last seven-figure deal to Spear Gunther. Not now, but sometime the next calendar year. Will he actually do a match? I highly doubt it. But I will say, if he was going to go out there and have a last match, Gunther might pull 3 stars out of him. He might. Because I think they'll work a smart match if it were to happen.
You got to wrestle for more than 3 minutes to get 3 stars. So.
Listen, Gunther can give you a good 3 minutes. That's what he said. I'm going to give you the best 3 minutes of your life in the ring, and it'll be 3 stars. I'm just saying. You know he would. If you give me 10, hey. I'm going to give you at least a good 4.
Wow. Let me tell you something. If you're getting 3 stars out of 3 minutes, you won your game. Yeah, I guess Brock got like 3 or so with 5 minutes at WrestleMania, and Gunther's better than Brock. So, okay. I'm with that.
Very possible. So, bold prediction, we're going to get that match or segment in the next calendar year after Gunther loses the championship. Not before, because no, we're not going to do that. But fine segment for the second half, not so much the first half, as we now get to our semi-main event of the evening. It was for the Women's World Championship. It was Liv Morgan, the champion, versus Rhea Ripley with Dominic Mysterio instead of a shark cage. It threw us off at first because I said, I know this man ain't going to be in a shark cage on the aisle, and he's not raised up in the air. So thankfully that happened before the match started. He was hung up halfway up in the air. And, you know, earlier this year, throughout the entire summer, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Dirty Dominic Mysterio was by far the hottest angle in WWE. It was the hottest angle for WWE YouTube. It was the hottest angle for social media. Yes, it was controversial in spots, but it was an angle that had people talking. This match, the body of the match was good. I do not like how Rhea Ripley was made to look like an idiot for the last 3 minutes of this match, and the referee being in on it too. So when you have Liv Morgan down and out, laid out, riptide on the floor, you have her dead to rights in the ring, you cover her, you pin her, you beat her, you get your championship back. Instead, Rhea decides, I want to get a kendo stick and beat Dirty Dom like a pinata. And the referee says, I would give you 1 minute to do that. F the rules. Go do you, Rhea. Beat him like a pinata. So Rhea goes out there because Dominic opens the shark cage midway through this match. And then he dangles himself upside down, swaying back and forth, which enables Rhea to hit him with that kendo stick repeatedly. And after she does that, we have this dumb spot of the referee having his back turned so Raquel Rodriguez can come back to attack Rhea. And then the referee sees it. He calls for the bell, throws the match out. Then in confusion, Raquel throws Liv on top of Rhea as if the match is still going on, not realizing disqualification, the match is over. And then she picks Liv up, tries to pick her up, tries to hug her. All of this was a hot mess. You predicted that Raquel would be new mommy. You were right. The execution of this was awful. And unfortunately for Liv and Rhea and Dom, this feud has hit the plateau. The shark is in the water and it's begging to be jumped over imminently. That is where we are. What was the hottest angle for this company over the summer, up until SummerSlam, has now careened off a cliff.
Or out of a shark cage. Where to start? So I just want to make sure I understand everything. Liv Morgan's plan with Raquel was it a time stamp? Was it like, hey, set your timer for 10 minutes, regardless of what happens. You just come out there in 10 minutes. Because what if she would have pinned her? before she did all that. Why didn't she come out earlier if she was just going to cause a DQ? This was atrocious. And, you know, these matches have not been very good as far as Rhea and Liv. And honestly, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Liv does. But her next feud is going to be against Nia Jax. Not really looking forward to that. And it's going to be over a title that's literally half the size of Liv Morgan. So, you know, it's, I don't have much to say because there wasn't much to get. They didn't give us much to work with. And also, we got Dominic. Apparently, Dominic Mysterio can just pick locks. He all of a sudden knows how to pick locks with no tools. Like, what is going on here? He had the cage open. I ain't never seen nobody chained up in the shark cage. And he fell out. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm gonna give this two mommies.
Yeah, this was rough. It lost the plot for me. I did laugh at them trying to make the excuse that I guess that Dirty Dom had to pick locks in prison when he was a county for 15 minutes. But still, it was weird. And then traditionally, like if you're in a shark cage, you drop something to your partner, right? Like brass knucks, something to help him cheat. You just going to sit there with the door open and not do anything. And you're going to fall out. Going to fall, what, 5 feet? And it wasn't going to be a hard landing when you really think about it. And you just hanging, just swinging, because the thing on your foot. And Rhea says, well, I don't care about winning. And the referee says, go ahead, girl. I mean, what?
Yeah, and they cheating on camera.
How you
cheating? How you got the referee literally complying with the athlete? Talking about, yeah, sure, we can break the rules. And he got a camera.
A camera.
You showed the ref camera as he's agreeing to cheating.
I would give you 1 minute to do what you need to do. Go out there and handle business. And he, on the take.
And he said, yeah, you deserve that. What? What? I ain't never heard no nonsense like that.
And Earl Ebner wonders why y'all hate on me.
This is a really bad match. This is not a good match.
No, execution was bad. The finish was bad. Everything was not great. The wrestling was good, but the idea and the psychology and the execution of stuff was so bad. It was so bad. Did not like this match at all. And I love Liv and I love Rhea, but this was not it at all. But now let's move on to the main event of Bad Blood. It was the Bloodlines, Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu versus the undisputed WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, and the OTC, the original tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Let's talk entrances, shall we? So we know that Roman Reigns is going to have an egregious entrance. We'll get to him later. Let's talk about Cody Rhodes. So at WrestleMania 2 years ago, Bianca Belair had an all-time WrestleMania entrance via the drum line from Texas A&M. And or to whatever school, but Texas Southern, I want to get the name of the school right. Don't want to butcher it, but it was an HBCU school.
It was.
All-time great entrance. Phenomenal. Unforgettable. I watched the clip, you know, every few months. I'm like, that was awesome.
For the culture.
For the culture. For the culture. Cody gets a drum line. And we know how live bands tend to go for Cody. Don't go well. Play a little out tune. Lead singer, you know, off key. Things like that. This band was all right. The problem was a rare snafu by the lauded WWE production crew who cannot mix his theme song with the live Marching Pants theme song. And they played his vocal entrance twice. They botched it. Lee Fitting botched. Sorry, made a boo-boo.
ruined the whole entrance. Everything was off key after that. Not gonna lie. Then we get Roman's entrance. Y'all hired a 50-piece orchestra to play Roman down to the ring. These people got here. It didn't play a string. They didn't play an instrument or nothing. All I heard was Roman's entrance music and no live accompaniment. And it's like Michael Cole says, the Georgia Philharmonic is here. I sit here to do what? To get a check for being present? Because they played nothing. This was a waste of money. This was WrestleMania light in terms of entrances. This was way too much. And the fact that we didn't hear any live music outside of that band from the school, choices. I did not love this. This was a little bit too over the top, even for me, for a B show.
So we got to talk about Roman Reigns and the fact that his entrance had him looking like a freaking superhero. This dude had the little side turn and was looking as the camera swooped into him. And he got the joint like, man, I kind of rocked with it. As far as what you're saying about the orchestra, I didn't even know the people were there. I thought they were just pillars. And then I saw one of the ladies cough. This was, like we said, 5-10 minutes. We knew that was going to the entrances. I appreciate Cody, you know, trying to embrace the culture. You know, I bet you that was Brandy's pick. But I appreciate that. And shout out to Brandy for, you know, having, because I heard what Triple H said in his press conference about representation and how he doesn't see color and all that stuff. And make sure you guys tune in this Tuesday. We have a lot to say about that. But I shout out to Brandy for, you know, putting Cody in his place when he said that same thing, because she told him, if you don't see color, then you don't see me. Mm. Just food for thought. But as far as the entrances go, this was something. And it's a good thing it was on a B show.
Yes, and I saw Triple H's comments live, and I said, oh, my dude, you know.
You missed that one.
You missed that one by a lot.
Missed that one. Yeah.
And you got, listen, like Triple H and live press conferences and answering questions, this is not your thing, honey. This is not what you are good at. And that answer was a fumble. We're going to talk about it Tuesday, because it's going to be like a big conversation. But this is why you keep getting added on that Twitter machine. This is why there is smoke to the fire based on your answer that you gave. And I'm glad you called back what Brandy said to Cody. Like, if you don't see color, you don't see me. You don't see my experiences. You don't see what I've gone through. So how can you possibly relate? And she had to educate Cody on that. And he's been into everything ever since. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to let him know, like, you have to see me and my experience and my life that is far different from yours. So I want Triple H to also understand that moving forward. We'll talk about it Tuesday. Entrances were egregious. Thank God it was a B-show. So if they fumbled a WrestleMania, I would have things to say. But let's talk about the match itself. Long, tedious. Cody sold for too long for me. I dozed off at several points. Not going to lie. Like, when you take a beatdown for more than 10 minutes, I'm going to take a cat nap. I'm going to go to sleep, going to catch some Z's. I'm going to wake up refreshed when Roman got the hot tag, and he did. He took care of business. I woke up. Things got more exciting down the stretch. Cody woke up as well. Splash, Jacob Fatu through the announce table. Love that spot. Cody and Solo had their moments, and Roman and Solo had their back and forth moments as well. And we had a moment where Roman Superman punched Solo. Had the win in hand. Bloodline comes out there via Tama Tonga Tongaloa to cause trouble that enables Solo to hit a spear on Roman for a very close near fall. He goes for a Samoan spike. And then somewhere in the background is a guy in a hoodie and a bandana over his face. I'm like, who could this possibly be? And he super kicks his cousins, Tama Tonga Tongaloa. And then he circles around to the middle of the ringside area. He unmasks himself. It's Jimmy Uso. Jimmy's back. He eyes baby brother, says hi. And then Roman spears Solo to get the 1-2-3 for his team. Jimmy's back.
a piece of the OG bloodline is back together. They hug and embrace. They're here for each other. Cody's in the ring, and Roman and Cody share a look, and Roman takes a bow, sees the floor, and leaves. As this happens, the bloodline, Solo, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, go after Cody again, and Jimmy says, you promised that you would help him. What are you going to do? I'm going to follow your lead. And Roman makes a decision to help Cody, and they fend off the bloodline. And we have this unlikely alliance here. And then just when you think the show's about to go off the air, we get a cameo appearance by the final boss, The Rock. Huge ovation. He just stands there, lets his music play in his Versace vest from 1999. No mic. Scott does one, and then he can't bend the third finger. And then he does that, and he leaves, and then he goes live on IG. I have not seen the IG footage, but I'll watch it later. But, dude, you got time. You could have cut a promo for, like, 5 minutes out there, but I guess you can't swear on Peacock, so there's that. But the match itself, second half better than the first. Great finish in terms of Jimmy's return and Rock's two-minute cameo.
So this was I watched this match with some people who don't normally watch wrestling. You know, they know about wrestling, but they don't normally watch wrestling. You know, I had the kids outside, the neighbors came over, had a few people. We were watching this main event. And, you know, because they know Cody, they know Roman. And I said The Rock might show up. I said he was in Atlanta. So, you know, they're watching the match. And let me tell you, it was a little slow to me. But to them, Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa were the most impressive things they've ever seen. Just like when they hit the moonsault into the big splash, they had their breaths taken away. I do need to remember to take a step back, because when, you know, somebody like that who's not watching every week as intently as someone like me, but who's coming in and watching it, they're like, man, that was crazy. That was awesome. You know, The Rock shows up at the end. They're like, I mean, that blew their mind. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what you want, because now they're more intrigued. I guarantee come Monday, they're like, hey, what happened with that? You know, when's the next show? So it's a twofold thing, because I agree with you. The first half was slow, but it was intended to be slow. They built up to a lot of things. They built up, you know, is Cody and Roman going to work together? Them having that tag early on in the match. So it worked really well. I thought Jacob Fatu looks really good. I thought this was a really good main event. Definitely not the best match on the card. Not even close. Probably shouldn't have closed. But I thought it was a really good main event and worthy of the final spot with all the shenanigans said and done. I would have went with the Hell in a Cell, but this was definitely worthy of the spot. I'm gonna go 3¾ Samoan wrestlers.
3¾ Samoan wrestlers, like Cody not included, but I would.
Exactly.
Cody added separately. So I will also go with 3¾ Samoans minus Cody. It was a good match. It dragged for the first half, got better for the last stretch of everything. And I love the return of Jimmy. It was long overdue. Rikishi needs to stay off social media and stop talking about his
son. He'll be mad about something. Something will happen and he'll be mad about something that Jimmy did. So don't worry about that.
Yes, the mirror return. Oh, they did it wrong. He came out the wrong way.
He was on the wrong side. He picks better on the right side of the ring. How do they not know that?
He's on the wrong side of the heart camera. Like, they ruined everything. Like, my son won the Intercontinental Championship, but it wasn't perfect. They gave him a better looking belt, but I don't like the blue in it. Like, I hate, like, Rikishi is the new old man that yells at a cloud every week, and I don't understand.
The week before, he was like, man, why won't they give my son the title? So the next week, he wins the title. Like, man, why'd they give my son the title like that?
It just happened so soon. Like, how come it couldn't be in a PLE?
Like, he'll find something to complain about. Like, Jimmy, like, why you couldn't return to the Royal Rumble? Or why you couldn't come back to Survivor Series in Vancouver? Like, he would ask these like, existential
questions. Why you
didn't
hit the Rock in the face?
Exactly. Exactly. So we'll just wait for Rikishi to, you know, have a conniption next week. And he'll talk about, you know, got to use the big words. He'll have a conniption next week and talk about Jimmy's return. But, you know, it was a nice way to end the show. Crowd went crazy for The Rock's entrance. I will have to look at his Instagram live. I did catch something he did when he was outside the production truck telling Dusty Rhodes on the truck, I love you, I hate your son. And then he told the production truck version of John Cena to eat some Fruity Pebbles. So I need to see all of this in full because I know.
He's back. He's back in full final boss mode.
He's back in full final IG final boss mode. I need to watch this.
We about to be getting 5-minute promos on Instagram. So I need to go and get my notifications ready in case he starts doing some Instagram lives and cutting some 5-minute promos.
Yes. Get your notifications ready because when he goes live, I will be there. Like, we are back. We are almost back and I'm here for it. But Scott, the show was not over. The show continued after the camera stopped rolling because we got gorilla camera footage of a heel turn at this PLE, an all-time nod to Atlanta, an old school angle going down off the air that will be produced and fully curated for WWE television by Monday night or Friday on SmackDown. They pick the day and the time. So we have fan shot footage of Cody and Kevin Owens by Cody's tour bus. We don't hear what's happening, but there's some kind of confrontation. There's an argument and words are had. And as Cody goes to pick up his championship but off the floor, Kevin gets to swinging, beats down Cody, destroys him. People come up to break up the fight. Kevin gets in his very fancy car and he drives away. So yes, we did have Kevin Owens turning heel in a backstage angle outside of the State Farm Arena after Bad Blood. That actually happened. Yes, it did.
So we can go ahead and book this. We're going to have Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton at Crown Jewel. And then at Survivor Series, we'll have Kevin Owens versus Cody Rhodes for that WWE title after he takes out Randy Orton at Crown Jewel.
Oh, a bold prediction coming in by Scott. And then eventually, Randy Orton will, in fact, also turn on Cody Rhodes.
Or does Randy Orton decide to turn, too? Like, you know what? I think I'm going to beat you up, too.
Yeah, we need Team RKO around. Those shirts got to sell somehow. You don't want them on the bargain discount bin on Fanatics. So we got to make it count for something.
It would be pretty funny.
It would be like, hey, Randy was like, hey, we need your help. I got this. We're cool when you're actually not. So we'll see how it goes. If they're going to do this, this has to be over before WrestleMania because we know Boss Rock, Final Boss, going to be back cutting 25-minute promos on TV, eating up airtime. So if you're going to do this, it's best to do it now versus probably after WrestleMania. So we'll see how the WWE plays it. But this wraps up Bad Blood. It was a show that existed. It was a one-match show, maybe 1.5 matches, maybe 2 matches, in all honesty. But Scott, on your final scale, on 1 to 10 tiers, what is your final score for Bad Blood 2024?
Man, I think this is probably the worst PLE of the year. It's a rough thing to say because it's probably got arguably the best match of the year. I'm gonna go with 4.5. I'm gonna go 4.5. You know what? They don't even deserve a nickname. I'm just gonna go 4.5.
4.5 somethings.
Nope, nothing. Just 4.5.
Just 4.5.
They don't get nothing scribbled in, nothing whiteout, 4.5.
The whiteout. Okay. I'm going to be a bit more generous because, you know, I like being creative. It popped in my head. I'm not going to go 4.5 or 4.75. I'm going to go 5 out of 10. 5 is for the opening match. 5 is for how the main event ended and what happened afterwards with KO turning on Cody. So I'm going to give 5 Metro Boomins out of 10.
Okay. Okay.
All right. All right. There you go. See? And that's why you're the captain of captain. Didn't leave the people hanging.
No, I gave you 5 Metro Boomins out of 10. So that's fair. Very fair. But yeah, it was a show, dude. It was like a Monday Night Raw on a Saturday night. And we got one great match, one great angle or two, and everything else kind of fell flat. And I think that Triple H needs to find that balance of making every match on your card count stateside, because you do that for the international PLEs all the time. You make these 5 matches count all the time overseas. Can you do that in this country consistently? We shall see. You sell the house and the gate and people show up and they roll through, and it was a hot ticket. It was compelling for people to see. But in terms of what you needed to execute in the middle, it kind of fell short.
I do think this is an anomaly because we had the Hell in a Cell. Like, we're not going to get a match of this magnitude that doesn't close. And I think if it's not Roman, I think anybody else teaming with Cody opens. So I think this was an anomaly in that regard, because it's not like the matches themselves and the body of the matches were bad. You just can't follow that Hell in a Cell, you know? And at that point, people were just waiting until the ends of the matches when they, you know, everything started bam, 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 but they were just waiting until the main event. So I do think this was kind of a one-off where you didn't close with Hell. Like, you had these two monster matches and I think they knew, like, it didn't matter what we put in the middle. Those two are selling it. I think from here, I think next time they do stateside, we're going to get some good matches, and the match quality will equal that as well.
I agree. And Triple H is on the timeline. He's on his burners. He's on his main account. She was reading some feedback. He's going to make some course corrections. He's always willing to adapt and learn. Hopefully choose words better next time on that. But I totally agree with you that Hell in a Cell was definitely that anomaly that kind of threw things off a bit, kicking off the show. I will compliment the crowd, because it's very rare for a WWE match to have that kind of reaction from the beginning to the end. That mm-hmm. crowd never quieted down for any spot in that match. They were loud for everything they did, and it was perfect. That was the match that they wanted to see. It was the match it needed to be, and it should have been the main event. It wasn't. Executive decision, I understand it, but if it was not for this match, show could have got a 2.
And now it's curious to see where CM Punk goes next, because we know what Gunther has next. Like, Gunther's got Cody next, or he's got Sammy next. Then he's got Cody. What's CM Punk got going on? Clearly Gunther's got to be in his plans, but he needs a pit stop. Who's going to be that pit stop? I think it's going to be very curious, because that could be his first Raw match.
Yes, he has not worked a television match yet. He doesn't work the TVs. That's going to have to change soon to do like stuff on Monday Night Raw on TV. So we'll see where that pivot's going to be, because it won't be Seth just yet. He's got Bronson Reed mm-hmm. business. Won't be Gunther just yet. He's got Cody Rhodes business heading into the end of this year. So he's going to be kind of like floating in the air a little bit. Does he take time off for a few weeks, come back? Possibly. I don't know.
Ludwig is a perfect pit stop that can keep him busy. Ludwig can get something by having some beatdowns on him backstage, especially now that he's weakened from the Hell in a Cell. Perfect little gap in between to segue to Gunther. And if it's not going to be Ludwig, I think somebody like after the Donnybrook match, and go like somebody like a Pete Dunne, somebody that CM Punk can beat decisively and it doesn't hurt them.
Yeah, I like that too. So we'll see how it goes for sure. So overall, way to spend a Saturday night. Expected a bit more from the show, but it was what it was. Great Hell in a Cell match. Fun main event. The middle. kind of sluggish for me. But that is a wrap for our Bad Blood review right here on the Fight Game Media Network via YouTube Live for your viewing pleasure. Before we go, Scott, I know that the week is still here, but are you ready to select your match of the week?
Well, there's nothing's going to top the Hell in a Cell. My match of the week, this week is going to be, NXT going for, back-to-back weeks of taking out Dynamite. This time it'll be head to head. They had a great debut on CW. We'll see if they can do it again. Especially after Dynamite got the great news of the renewal, a lot of money coming their way. We'll see what happens if NXT can beat them or if Tony Khan's like, nah, we just got paid. We definitely not gonna let y'all beat us week after we just got paid.
Yeah, they got paid. They got the paper, got the bag. Congrats to AEW for that. To be pushing, like, possibly being a $1 billion company in the next 5 years, that's big time for professional wrestling. There is equity there. There's money to be made. They have to grow their audience. Like, they've lost a sizable chunk of their fan base in the last year in terms of viewership. They got to find those fans, where they went, why they left. I think CM Punk's departure definitely is a factor in that, on top of WWE being hot. And for NXT versus AEW, NXT went unopposed for hour one. So AEW has some catching up to do from 9 to 11 whenever they go off the air. So that is going to be interesting that NXT has the first hour to themselves. Will there be a pivot and switch after 9 o'clock? We shall see when those numbers drop on Wednesday. But it will be a head-to-head battle for maybe an hour or so on Tuesday night, but we shall see how AEW competes and if they can get their viewership back up, because it is going to be tough times ahead with NBA coming up and their ratings already soft versus a year ago. We'll see where their bounce back number is very soon, but we will be back on Wednesday morning talking Monday Night Raw and NXT going live in St. Louis, Missouri on the CW once again with Randy Orton versus Javon Evans, which should be spectacular. We have Grayson Waller and Austin Theory going up against Fraxium, Nathan Frazer and Axiom for the NXT Tag Team Championships, on top of Tony D'Angelo versus Obafemi for the NXT North American Championship. And we got Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, the Women's Tag Team Champions, alongside the NXT Women's North America Champion, Kalani Jordan, versus Fatal Influence. And I expect a title change, at least one, on this show for week two of NXT on the CW.
I don't. I think everything stays right where it is.
And we shall reconvene on Wednesday to find out who's right and who's wrong right here on The Wrap. So for myself, I want to thank my co-captain, who is rarely salty for a PLE, but he was salty tonight. I want to thank Salty Scott Young for joining me as we recap the highs and lows from Bad Blood in the A.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. In a city that hosts the Hawks, this will be the most exciting thing Atlanta does all year.
You're funny. You're very funny. Hey, at least the Falcons are winning for now.
Shout out to Kirk Cousins, man. Keeping y'all afloat right now.
Yeah, we don't completely suck. So I celebrate the small victories. So why not? So, hey, Atlanta's booming. Hey, someone said on Thursday, the Atlanta establishments were hopping on Thursday after that game. If you know where the establishments were. In Atlanta. All right. So with that, that's a wrap for this review of Bad Blood. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back Wednesday morning via the Fight Game Media Network podcasting network as we dive into all things Monday Night Raw and NXT on the CW. So for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for Bad Blood 2024. See you Wednesday. Until then, take care. And bye-bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.